Hey, this is Father Voskin, a priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to the next step. Spring edition. We are in spring and celebrating the next step. This is a podcast about life and love, about spirituality, all things viewed through the lenses of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy, polished up for today. So we invite you to kick back right now and remember that this Next Step podcast is being brought to you by the cool folks at epostle.net. That's apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. If you're ready, let's take the next step. It is one of those beautiful Southern California mornings that you write home about. You know, oh, you should see this sunrise this morning. It is early, it is crisp, I've got my cup of coffee going. Just want to welcome you. Hope you're doing well. It's great to have you with us. A lot of stuff to talk about today. Want to remember the passing of His Holiness, Pope Shenouda. And that's coming up in a few minutes. I got a very special treat for you as far as a reflection about that. Coming up in just a couple moments. We've got Ani with her bubbles. But let me tell you, first and foremost, thank you for coming out last night. I was at the St. Leon Cathedral, Western Diocese headquarters, and had an opportunity to speak about Holy Week. And I got a chance to meet some Next Steppers face to face. It was great. I want to thank you all for coming out and for sharing your responses and your encouragement, telling me that you're praying for us. I want to do a special shout out to Arthur. Celebrated his birthday. Yes, at St. Leon last night. Can there be any better way of celebrating a birthday than at Husquam service, you know, at the Lenten vigils? Some of these songs, I got to tell you, last night I gave a lecture about Holy Week. And it gave me a chance to really stop for a few moments and put together those notes. You know, you go through the motions and you know the services. They are so beautiful. But I had a chance to really, in preparation for the notes, in preparation for the lecture, I had a chance to really dig deep into some of the hymns. In specifically, Aysor Anjar, written by Saint Nerse Shnorhali. Wow. You know, you get tears in your eyes. In fact, it was so moving for me that I've decided that I want to do something special with that on Holy Week and share it with you in this next step series. You know, speaking of Holy Week, we do have the Lenten Vigil series, the Lenten Journey series on Epostle. And I was reminded last night that it only goes up to 40 days, and then there is a special 9 days series. And you can find that on Epostle. It is a 9-day series called Holy Week, and I want to really point you to that because that's coming up. And if you go through those through the Lenten series, the Lenten journey, you end up at Holy Week in a very special manner. You end up there on a high. And that's really unusual, you know? Like during Lent, people always talk about abstaining, about the negativity of Lent. And really, it's interesting. Somebody was telling me last night that through the Lenten journey, it became a positive experience. It became a positive way of approaching Lent and this season. And so it wasn't about forgetting, it was about doing. And that's what I like to hear. So thank you very much for the beautiful words of encouragement, for praying with us, and especially for coming out. It's great to see people face to face. Hey, did you enjoy last week's podcast? Got so much feedback about that. And what a wonderful lady, Linda Maxwell. We got some interesting feedback that people were really able to see the diversity of religion. I mean, how important religion is. And, you know, this is a very special area for me because last Sunday, I had a chance to talk about the parable of the unrighteous judge. And I got to share with you some interesting things that happened during that sermon. Because, you know, I've shared with you in the past that when I give a sermon, it's always starting off with that very special prayer, Lord, if you open my mouth, I shall sing your praise. I know I got You know, one of the problems of living in Glendale, I'm digressing too much. It's this coffee. Okay, let me begin with the coffee and then digress into so many different areas. My coworker, Maria, gave me one of these Keurig machines. Now, I know it is wasteful. You got to put in that little pellet and, you know, you get your cup of coffee. But for my particular circumstance, my particular situation, it is perfect. It makes one cup of coffee and I get to have it. I don't have to use up a whole pot and, you know, get caffeined out. I'm nervous as it is, you know. Those of you who know me know I'm nervous as it is. So she gave me this Keurig machine and every morning I'm enjoying making this cup of Keurig coffee. But then she told me that really Keurig can be transposed and you could think of it as Kuidik. It is the sister coffee, Kuidik in Armenian, Kuidik. And you know, I gotta tell you, I do have a problem in Glendale because I think Armenian. And then talking English, which is my, you know, it should come very natural for me being born in America, in Los Angeles. I should be able to speak English, but I think in Armenian. And this is what Glendale has done for me, has done to me. And so when I said a moment ago, if I open my mouths, I only have one mouth, okay, if there's any doubt. But the reason is because the prayer actually is, Deryete shirtunusim panas peranim yerkese zornutunusko. And that is one of the first prayers that we do in the night hour as the priest, after he recites the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father. He says, Deryete shirtunusim panas. So I'm thinking of shirtunus, and shirtunk is, of course, the lips. And shirtunus, it's sort of like the Arm English, Armenian with the English suffix of an S. And then as you're doing that in Armenian, you go to mouths. That's all it was. Okay? So a long explanation. We went through coffee, Keurig, but we got here, okay? So last Sunday, I prayed this prayer. Lord, if you open my mouth, I shall sing your praise. And I began on this interesting journey for me, talking about the unrighteous judge. And we were talking about the idea of prayer. And I've spoken about this many, many times, that prayer is not just a conversation with God. In fact, God already knows our needs, as our Lord Jesus Christ tells us. He already knows what we need. So why then pray? A good question, right? Why pray? If God already knows what our needs are, why do you pray? Well, obviously, prayer has to do, but it's about something else. It's not about telling God what our needs is, but basically telling ourselves what our needs are. Meditation. Focusing in on that point. And I drew this parallel, you know, laser technology. When you talk about cancers, you have cancers, and you eradicate them by really focusing in the radiation, laser technology. I mean, think about that. That radiation will destroy the bad cells along with the good cells if it's not focused in properly. So it's very important when you eradicate the cancer that you focus in, that you bring it down. Really to that point. And so I started talking about this and it was just, it was flowing. I knew the Holy Spirit had a message to give our people, to give me. Because we all have cancers in our lives. Different cancers. Some of them are physical, some of them are emotional, some of them are psychological. And you need to really focus in right on that point. And when you do, this is where the power of prayer comes in. You focus in. And just like that laser beam, you're able to hit that cancer, hit what is negative, and allow the goodness around it to survive. Do you remember that parable that Jesus talks about? He says, somebody comes up to the landowner and says, Lord, should we get rid of the weeds? And he says, no, because while pulling out the weeds, you may take care of the good grass too. Now we have that ability by focusing in to take care of the weeds. You don't have to touch that the good grass around it. Same way in your life. You don't have to touch the goodness. If you can, focus in. If you can become like the laser beam and direct that those rays right to the negativity. And I went on to say that, you know, if you think about what Jesus is talking about, to move the mountain and to put it into the sea. If you have faith in God and do not have doubt, but believe, you can tell this mountain, pick yourself up and throw yourself into the sea and it will do it. And so we actually sit there sometimes and we think, okay, I'm going to try to move this mountain. I'm going to try my faith. And then we rationalize. We say, okay, well, that mountain's not moving and it's not going into the sea. Well, maybe because I doubt it. Maybe because I have doubts in my heart. Well, obviously you have doubts. And Jesus never meant for that mountain going. Hey, this is just an expression, a figure of speech, saying what is impossible can be possible. And that's what Jesus wanted to teach us, that if you pray, if you focus in, the impossible can be possible. That mountain can move and can go into the sea. Now, fast forward a few hours. That same evening, Sunday evening, I went home and I'm watching some documentary. And I've got to tell you, it was one of those vegetative states. It was just like such an exhausting day. And this is like around 8, 9 in the evening. And I said, okay, I need to just vegetate for a little bit because mine's going on, you know, really quickly. I'm giving you all my secrets. So I'm watching this documentary about black holes. Fascinating. And you know my fascination with well, you know, today we are in springtime, a celestial event, the vernal equinox. Well, I'm watching black holes. It's talking about gravity being so intense that in these black holes, everything is being consumed. Everything is being swallowed up, so to speak. And this gravity is just pulling in everything, including light. Lasers, focusing in, light. You get where I'm coming from? We just talked about this early in the morning. The parable of the unrighteous judge, focusing in, light, on this one little area. And so I'm watching this documentary and the scientist who's narrating it, and they're doing some incredible computer graphics, and it's just sucking me in. And they're talking about in the center of the black hole is this small little area that has just sucked in everything. It is so dense. It is so heavy because gravity is pulling everything in. And it says at this point, they call it singularity. Singularity. Focusing in. Do you see where I'm coming from? It's beyond coincidence. Anyway, at this point of singularity, the scientist says, all the laws and rules of physics break down. And he says that there has to be a greater physics, greater laws of physics, which we do not understand at this point. Will we ever understand it? I don't know. But it was just beautiful how everything just sort of flowed. Because we came from this point of, Lord, if you open my mouth, I will sing your praise. What is the message that we need to get out today? It is that of prayer. That prayer has to be not a conversation only with God, but with ourselves. To look within, to focus in on what do we need? How can I better serve myself and thereby serve others? Where is the focus of my prayer? And can I do those impossible things? Impossible, a word, well, where physics breaks down. The laws of physics break down. How can I focus in? And there it is. Singularity. Singleness. Find it right there and focus in. Now, this is too fascinating for me. I hope I was able to convey that with my words, but I'm writing something about it, and I hope to put it up on my blog in the next, hopefully today, if not today, tomorrow. But I hope you're with me, because I'm just really, really excited about this. You know, sometimes if you allow God to work, the miracles take place. And it's not about him working the miracles. The miracles are all around us. It's about us allowing it. Those doubts, they're like big giant fences, obstacles, hurdles that we put in our way when all around us, these miracles are right there. Anyway, you'll have to bear with me on this one. I am just so excited. I've been on a high since last Sunday. It's singularity. And here's the important thing. Science and religion come together. That's how I ended my sermon. It's interesting because I still cannot understand why science and religion are mutually exclusive one another. Why can't they exist together? I mean, I just don't understand that. One has to do with one thing, another has to do with other things. I mean, science is about inspecting, about testing, about tangible items. You touch it, here's my coffee cup. Yes, I'm clicking on it. I know it is here. Get tested. I don't need to have faith to believe that this is a coffee cup. Okay, there are other things which are unexplainable, the mysteries. Everything breaking down at that point of singularity. The scientist is admitting it. Understand that. Allow me to talk about it in terms that make sense for me. Okay? And we can call that religion. We can call that a way of surviving, given the diversity of life. I know people want to say, well, there is no God. Are you sure? Do you know so much about all the things around you, about the universe? I mean, my God, they tell me half of the species on this planet have not yet been discovered. That there are species underwater, there's areas underwater which we haven't discovered. And yet there is this giant universe out there with physics and laws and motions and gravity. And you know so much that you're able to say unequivocally, there is no God. Gotta think about that, right? If you're at that point, you really should contemplate that statement. Anyway, I know there is a God. It is a beautiful God. He is a beautiful one who's given us this beautiful day and has given us springtime. We just went through the vernal equinox. Very special one for me, March 20th. I always remember how I was on the equator some, what was it, 5-6 years ago, 2006. I was on the equator in Rwanda. And I said, wow, this is the place to be on March 20th. You got 12 hours of daytime, 12 hours of nighttime. And so begins spring. So whether you are on the equator right now, you're in the hemispheres somewhere. And if you happen to be in the northern hemisphere like us, we are celebrating springtime. It is the beginning of spring. I'm going to play a song today, well, to put us in the mood of spring. It's a little jazz tune, but also to put us in the mood for what is about to come in a few moments. This song is called Cross of Gold, and I found it on an album called Truth and Reconciliation. And when we talk about this next individual, His Holiness Pope Shenouda, of blessed memory, he passed away last weekend, and we have a very special reflection to share with you in a few moments. But Truth and Reconciliation just fit perfectly, and Cross of Gold, the name of this song by Daryl Grant. Enjoy it. We'll come back and reflect. Daryl Grant is the artist, Cross of Gold. It's off of an album called Truth and Reconciliation. And we'll definitely have a link on our show notes. And I chose this song for a few reasons. First of all, we're going to be talking about His Holiness Pope Shenouda. He passed away last week at the age of 88. I had the very, very good fortune of being able to share a blessing, to share a prayer with him. I'm going to be sharing that with you in just a couple moments. But before that, we've got a very, very special reflection. But let me begin by Cross of Gold. You're saying, okay, you picked a jazz song. Now, how does this tie in with this Coptic patriarch? Pope Shenouda was the head of the Coptic Orthodox Church. Now, first of all, you need to know that within the Christian family, there is a group of churches that are in full communion with the Armenian Church. The Coptic Orthodox Church is one of those churches. Pope Shenouda was the head of that communion. So basically, when I say full communion, I can walk into a Coptic church, they can walk into an Armenian church and receive communion, receive the sacraments. Cross of Gold. Pope Shenouda was the leader, the head. You know, there is a beautiful story in the Armenian tradition of one of our Catholicoi who was being criticized for wearing ornamental vestments, for wearing a cross of gold. And he was being criticized because, how could you be wearing this? How could, while your people are suffering? And he made the point of saying, this is what I wear outwardly. And tearing off his shirt, he showed his critic that he had burlap against his skin, burlap being a very rough fabric. And he showed that close to my skin, I feel the pain of my people. But outwardly, it's important that they see, that they identify with a victory. They identify with something greater. And this was one of our church Catholicoi many centuries ago talking about this. And well, the reason I picked out Cross of Gold was exactly for that reason. Pope Shenouda was exactly that person. Outwardly portraying that victory, inwardly feeling the struggle and the pain of his people. The persecution, the difficulties that the Coptic Orthodox Church, that the Copts went through throughout the years, throughout the centuries, but in particular lately, recently, within Egypt. You've been following those stories. We've been praying for them. And just last week, our dear friend Harry Hagopian, dear friend to this podcast, I've never met him, but I feel like I've met him. I've been reading so much of his beautiful writings and his sincere messages of brotherly love within the Christian community. Harry Hagopian, he wrote a piece about the late pontiff. And I read it, and I've got to tell you, I sent him an email, and I said, could you elaborate a little bit? Would you be willing to share some of your thoughts with the people who listen to The Next Step? And he was so gracious. I've got to tell you this. He was in travel. He was in transit, not having access to microphones, somewhere in Africa. And he was gracious enough to put together a piece, which I'm going to read in just a couple minutes. And I want to thank him. I want to thank him for doing this. And he's promised me that in the next few months, when he comes out to the United States, we're going to have a face-to-face, and he'll be definitely an interview guest here on The Next Step. But in the meantime, let me give you a little bit of background on Harry Hagopian. He is an international lawyer, an ecumenist, a political consultant. He also acts as a Middle East and interfaith advisor to the Catholic Bishops' Conference of England and Wales, and as Middle East consultant to the ACEP, Christians in Politics, in Paris. We'll definitely put a link on our show notes today to his blog so you could check out all the wonderful stuff that he does and writes about. But let me share with you an exclusive that he gave us, a small little essay about His Holiness Pope Shenouda III of blessed memory. Aged 88, and rather unwell for quite some time, I suppose I was prepared for the death, or departure, as the press release described it, of this towering figure who grabbed the headlines for four long decades. However, no matter how expected the death of His Holiness Shenouda III, I still couldn't help but feel that the world lost a man of faith who always held Christ in his heart and the cross in his hand. I first got to know Pope Shenouda, or Baba Shenouda, as he was known all over Egypt, when I was Assistant General Secretary of the Middle East Council of Churches in Cyprus, and he was one of the four co-presidents representing the family of Oriental Orthodox Churches. I remember it so clearly. We were having our General Assembly in Beirut, and almost all the Middle Eastern church leaders were present at this major event in the life and witness of the church. Suddenly, Pope Shenouda showed up, with his retinue of bishops, and the whole atmosphere changed when scores of Copts, ordinary men and women, young and old, rushed forward to kiss his hand and lie prostrate before him. As a young man, I remember thinking that this was either an example of over-the-top theatrics or a depth of faith that it's not easy to find in our modern world. I recall looking at our own Catholicos Catechin II of Antilias, and he smiled at me and simply nodded his head. That twinkling nod from the Catholicos was telling enough for me. And it affirmed in my mind that what I was seeing was a genuine display of unconditional love that I have rarely witnessed elsewhere throughout my ecumenical ministry. In fact, the last time I met Pope Shenouda was 3 short years ago in London with Bishop Nathan Hovhannissian, the then primate of the Armenian Church in the United Kingdom. And the Copts who had filled the huge cathedral were all clamoring to be blessed by this man who exuded a sense of charisma despite his awkwardness and somewhat ungainly demeanor. Most people know how Bible-centered and exegetical the Pope of the Coptic Orthodox Church was and how he could easily speak for hours on end to his fellow church leaders, as well as to audiences who came to listen to him every week. In fact, I have assisted at one of those Wednesday sermons in Cairo when he spoke for 3 hours about one single verse from Scripture, John 13:34-35, and where his message was one of discipleship and love of Christ. And as much as we, at least in the West, are not accustomed to such long discourses, he had a way of drawing people into the heartland of his indomitable faith. However, few are those who might also recall the harrowing times Pope Shenouda experienced during the late Anwar Sadat's presidency of Egypt, when he was banished to St. Bishoy's Desert Monastery in Wadi Natrun for 4 years because he had objected to the president's edicts and the way they affected his flock. Yet this banishment was not such a bad thing, since this man was very much a monk at heart, and he often retreated into the desert at difficult moments to pray, contemplate, and renew his faith. But despite the hardships of his ministry and the huge challenges surrounding him, he always managed to preserve a sense of humor and quick wit that were so personal, but also so very charmingly Egyptian. For the past year, Egypt has been undergoing the painful ructions of an uncertain revolution, let alone the grave pitfalls of unclear change. not least in terms of Muslim-Christian relations. These are difficult times for everyone in Egypt and in the wider Middle East, North Africa. Almost everyone is apprehensive of what the future holds in store for the peoples of this biblical region. Many Christians are holding their breath. So I hope the successor of Pope Shenouda, whoever he might be, whether conservative or liberal, as the secular press would inevitably describe the choice, will manage to lift up the deep-rooted Christian faith that Egyptian Copts possess and will look outward in order to help enhance the sense of fellowship all Christians ought to seek across borders and continents in this global village we quaintly call planet Earth. After all, let us not forget that Saint Mark, the apostle who brought Christianity to Egypt, was referred to as evangelist, witness, and martyr. And these are three key characteristics that I believe we Christians need to weave together with love into our own lives, not only in Egypt, but everywhere else too. Pope Shenouda often repeated publicly that Egypt isn't a country we live in, but a country that lives within us. Today, I simply share with him a reflection on how I perceive the loss of such a man whose faith defined a country and whose actions, no matter how we deem them, affected many Christian men and women. So I do not think I overstate the case when I suggest that our Lenten season has become even more sober and perhaps paradoxically enough, more meaningful with the departure of this man. Astvaz Hokindu Savore, may he rest in peace. Short little reflection, some thoughts, an essay by Harry Hagopian. We will put a link to his blog. I do want you to get to know him, an interesting personality. And you could see by his credentials how much work he's doing within the Middle Eastern community and bringing Christians together. Thank you very much, Harry, for that insight and that reflection. We look forward to meeting you face to face in a few months. Listen, before we go on, I wanted to share with you one more Pope Shenouda story, and I'm going to put some links on our show notes today, because you do need to get to know Pope Shenouda. Now, even in his passing, get to know him, because he was just an incredible figure within the entire Christian church. He was charismatic. He had an ability to speak to the people in their terms. And I want to share with you this little story, because it reminds me of how personable he was. This took place in the early 90s. I was serving at the St. Andrew Armenian Church in Cupertino, California. That's one of the small cities outside of San Jose. Actually, it butts up right against San Jose. And I was the priest there, and I was invited to the consecration of the St. George Coptic Orthodox Church. And sure enough, it was there that Pope Shenouda would be officiating. He would be actually consecrating this new church. And so I showed up. It was a Saturday. I'll never forget it. The images are so clear in my mind. I showed up. It was a Saturday. And there was just an incredible community of believers. You know, you look at them, as Harry suggested in his essay too, you just look at them and you say that this is either fanaticism to the nth degree, or it is truly sincere reverence for something holy. And they, of course, it's the latter when you get to know them. And there was Pope Shenouda in the middle of them, talking to them. And of course, he was speaking to them on a very personal level. And I was, you know, I sat there with some of the other clergy that were invited. And all of a sudden, I get this tap on my shoulder. And it's the priest of the church. And he says, "I need to see you." And so he walks me outside and he says, "We don't have muron, the holy oil. We don't have muron to consecrate this building. Do you have some?" And I said, "Of course I do. Now look, this is the Coptic church coming to the Armenian church. Why? Because we are completely in communion. It's the same church." says, do you have some Muron? So, yes, I do. So I'll never forget that. It was a cool ride. I had this little Corolla, 1989 Corolla, blue. I felt like, you know, Broderick Crawford in the old Highway Patrol stories. You know, I just sat in my car and I zoomed down to the Armenian church, went in the back, and I'm wearing my cassock, and I'm waiting for a cop to challenge me at the speeds that I'm taking to get there. But no challenges that day. I was fortunate enough. No distractions. Went right into the church. I pulled out the Muron, the holy, blessed Muron, the chrism of the Armenian church. And I rushed back down there, and as soon as I got there, of course, they were waiting, and there was some people who had reserved a special spot just so I could pull up, because they were delaying the entire consecration waiting for this Muron. I get there, I walk into the church, and the Pope is talking to the people. And like I said, I won't forget this. What was he talking about? One woman was saying, my husband smokes to excess. What should I do? And he was giving advice on how to stop smoking. Another person was talking about family troubles. He was advising them. It was just so fatherly. It was so pure. It was so genuine. It just struck out at you that this is a church leader. Basically, WWJD, he was doing it. What would Jesus do? He was doing it. He was engaging. He was talking. And all of a sudden, I heard a few familiar words. Ermeni, meaning Armenian. I heard Abuna, which means priest, and Orthodox, which means Orthodox, of course. So I knew the conversation was about the Armenian Orthodox priest, happens to be me. In other words, okay, we can continue. The Armenian Orthodox priest is here. And I looked up, and I was ready to offer the Holy Chrism to him. And he insisted that I come and stand next to him during the consecration. And so basically the Muron, I was able to hold the Muron as he consecrated the building. What a blessing for me. You don't know how humbled I was at that moment. It's just a time and a story that I will treasure. And of course, on the other hand, look at the communion. Look how beautiful it is that we were able to share that Muron, tying our churches together, making us truly one church. I'm going to put some interesting links on today's show notes. Please do check them out. There's going to be some fun things that you do need to know about this incredible person. Okay, I hear some harp music. Yes, they're bringing in that harp. That could only mean one thing. Ani is ready with today's bubbles. Ani, we missed you for the last couple weeks, and I think she's going to make up for it today with a very special spiritual bubble.
Now that we're midway through this Lenten season, it's easy for us who practice the dietary restrictions of Lent to forget those who are restricted because they simply have no food to eat or no means to support themselves. So today's spiritual bubble is called Animal Crackers, a story by Jennifer Tovell. The asphalt walkway was a beautiful thing to roller skate on, with its little hills and valleys that you could almost effortlessly glide on, ever so smoothly. I frequented the housing complex with my metal skates clipped on over the toes of my shoes and the leather strap buckled around my ankles. What a beautiful feeling, to glide along in the sun, feeling the summer breeze in my hair. It made me feel like I hadn't a care in the world. This one afternoon, I took my time there enjoying the warm afternoon with no reason to hurry home for supper. I knew there'd be no real dinner waiting. These last few days were the leanest for my family, ever since my father left. My mother was great at making something out of practically nothing taste really good, but even the practically nothing seemed to be just about gone. But as a kid, you don't worry too much about these things. My sister and I would make grape jelly sandwiches, if there was any bread and jelly, and peanut butter was usually just a wish. But there was always a good book to read to take my mind off my growling tummy. I especially liked to read Dr. Seuss. But this day, I knew, would be a long one, with lots of tummy growling and lots of reading. As the sun began to settle, resting after blazing long in the summer sky, I turned to go home. There may not have been food there, but it was my home and my family, and there was always a good book to read. I skated back on the smooth, winding asphalt walkway, making my way home, and as the light in the sky grew dimmer, I could almost feel the night entering my soul. I crossed the street and headed for our doorway. We lived in a small second-floor apartment next to Sam's Fish Market. My mom used to go in there and ask if she could buy food on credit, with a promise to pay him as soon as she got some money. Sam was usually kind enough to allow it, seeing that she had a large family. How could he turn her away? But she couldn't go in there these days. No, the bill was getting just a little too high, and my mother was a proud woman. I turned towards our stoop and the big glass door that loomed just past it, when I noticed there was something on the step. Someone must have left something there, I thought. I wonder if they're coming back. Then, as the thought of a light switch was thrown onto my head, it registered just what it was. Two very large brown grocery bags, just brimming with food. There was long, crusty bread hanging over the top of one of them, and when I peeked inside, I could see spaghetti and rice and cans of vegetables and sauce and cookies. Animal crackers, they were, to be precise. My favorite. I think my heart just leaped in the sky with happiness as I realized that maybe, just maybe, this food was left for us. But who would have left it here? It didn't matter. Mom will be so happy. I tore off my skates and grabbed one of the bags and ran upstairs just as fast as I could, making sure not to let anything spill out. "Mom, Mom," I cried as I ran huffing and puffing up the stairs. I was so out of breath from excitement that I could barely answer her question of where the food came from as I practically crash-landed the bag on the kitchen table. "Mom, Mom," I cried, "you're not going to believe this, but there's another bag. There's another bag. I don't know who forgot it on our step, but can we keep them?" My mother was silent, but so overjoyed that tears came to her eyes. She didn't jump and shout like I did. I don't even think she got out of breath when she went downstairs to carry another bag. She just closed her eyes and said, "Thank you for hearing my prayer." At that moment, I joyfully figured that we were keeping the food, as she seemed to know who left it there for us. This has been your spiritual bubble. May it float on the wind to heaven.
Thank you, Ani. What a nice Lenten reminder, right? Yeah, just really like that. Kind of fits in with everything else we've been talking about too, right? The impossibilities made possible through the prayers. And fitting in with Pope Shenouda too, right? Looking after those small things that are important, basically survival. Not just physical survival, but of course, survival of the soul. Thank you, Ani. Ani does this segment called Spiritual Bubbles, made to make our mind, take our mind to other places. That, you know, like those soap bubbles, you blow them and they just go off. And you look out there and you see them floating off. So too with Ani's bubbles. They take your mind to different places. Before going on, I want to ask Susie to make her announcement about how you can get involved with this ministry. I'll be back in just a couple moments and share with you some parting shots today. Here's Susie.
Before getting back to the Next Step with Father Vazgen, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this ministry is supported through the heartfelt donations of listeners like you. Thanks for keeping us in your prayers and partnering with this expanding and dynamic outreach. We are now in the fourth year of broadcasting and pleased that this voice of Armadoxy is being heard by a worldwide audience. The Next Step is entering homes and communities with a solid message proclaiming God's message of love, forgiveness, and compassion. We look forward to your comments and words of encouragement. Address your comments 24/7 to our email address, feedback@epostle.net, or via our website at epostle.net. During these past 4 years, we have consistently produced The Next Step as a gift to our listeners. Please consider partnering in this dynamic ministry by making a contribution. By pressing on the donate button on our website, you can set up automatic donations, either weekly, monthly, or annually. Your donation goes a long way in furthering this ministry. Even more, tell your friends and family by sharing the Next Step link or website with them. We're on iTunes and Blueberry, as well as Facebook and Twitter. We are excited about this ministry and invite you to share in our enthusiasm. This is Susie wishing you all of God's blessings in your life. We now return to the Next Step with Father Vosgen.
Thank you, Susie, for that important reminder. You know, yes, I was telling you that yesterday I gave this lecture about Holy Week, and I'm going to share with you some of the things that we discussed over there in a future broadcast, probably as Holy Week approaches next week or the week after. But I do want to share with you one small little prayer. It was just so beautiful for me because we were talking about the service of Trungpatsek, which is the opening of the doors, the opening of the portals. It's about the days to come. And in those prayers, there's something very special where we talk about what the church is. So the way this service takes place is that you have one priest on the outside of the door, the other priest or cleric on the other side of the door, and it's a conversation that we're a part of. And one of them says, "Open to us, O Lord, the door of your mercy, with lamentation we beseech you." And the voice comes back saying, "Who are you? For who should I open this door? Only the righteous shall enter it." And the answer back is, "No, not just the righteous, but also the sinners, justified with confession and repentance, we shall enter through it." Now the prayers continue, and I do promise that I'm going to share this with you in the next few weeks, definitely. Because I got to tell you, yesterday, in just preparing for Holy Week, preparing this lecture, I was in tears many times because it's just so beautiful, so full of our theology and our understanding of the God-man relationship. And when I talk about armadoxy, you've got to believe that this is something that goes back to the beginning of time. We're not just talking about something that, you know, you read about, but it's something that you understand with heart, with mind, with spirit, with body. It's complete. It's total. It's inclusive. And so when Susie tells you, "We need your support, we need your help," it's not just writing out a check. Yes, we do need that. Do send that in. But along with that, do share this. This material is fresh. It's really unique. Last Saturday, I was at a conference at the diocesan headquarters. It was about best practices, and in there was the usual discussion about how to increase membership. You know, it comes down to a very basic formula. It's putting Christ in the center of your life, and therefore in the center of the church. Why did during the apostolic times did the church flourish? Right, it was based on Christ. It wasn't based on the trappings. And it's very important that we get back to the roots. And the root of Christ being at the center means love is at the center. It means sharing. It means giving. It means understanding. Much in the same way we just talked about a recent hero of the church, Pope Shenouda. Okay, he put Christ at the center. As Harry described him, he had Christ in his heart and a cross in his hand. And it's that understanding. So that cross, what we played earlier, the gold cross, you know, it's just not an ornament, but it's really at the heart of who the person is, of who you and I are. So it's in that spirit that we offer these podcasts, and it's in that spirit that we ask you for your help. We ask for your partnership in this ministry. We are at the end of today's podcast. I want to thank you for joining us. It was a little different, wasn't it? We got a chance to share some thoughts, some insights about somebody who is a contemporary of ours. And a lot of times this is very important in the Next Step ministry, in armadoxy, that the church is not just about history, but it's making that history alive today. Pope Shenouda was one such person, making that history alive within the people, despite all the difficulties that they're going to. And I really appreciated Harry's insight on that, and especially his wishes, because it's not about the person who has passed away. He's definitely in a place where there is no pain, there is no more suffering. He is at peace with his Maker. Now the opportunity is for us to pray about the church today. Can we find new Shunudas who will inspire us? New Shunudas who will come and take the reins? And you know where he's going to find those new Shunudas? From all of us. You, me. This is where it comes from. It comes from us being true to our faith, true to the ministry, true to the understanding that God loves us, and therefore we have to love one another. We are at the end of today's podcast. I want you to join us at epostle.net, where you find Apostolic Evangelism for an Expanding Universe. You'll find all kinds of podcasts. You'll find the Lenten series, as well as, now listen to this, there is a special button that is just for the Holy Week series. This is 9 days that take you from the resurrection of Lazarus all the way to Easter morning. Of course, we're still in Lent. Do check out the Lenten series. And of course, Compass with Linda Zadoyan. Just spoke to her this morning. She's got a great show coming up for you. Do check it all out. It's at epostle.net. Easy to remember, right? Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic Universe. Epostle.net. Does that sound like a Three Stooges line? Of course, check us out at themothershipinissues.org. Listen for the wonderful team who brought us today's shows. For Ani with her bubbles, for Susie, our producers, for Vahe doing the background work. This is Father Boskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
We trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week. And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.